second installment of the Battle of Alberta goes down tonight in Calgary. And the first one, I would say, was memorable. It was certainly a game I don't think anyone's going to forget. And Pierre Lebrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, is out there. This is a great, great gig, I would think, to be out there covering this series. And he joins us now. What's the buzz like? What are we, 8-9 hours away from puck drop, Pierre? What's going on out there?
I'm not kidding you. I'm going for a nap after our radio hit.
Yeah.
Because we might be covering hockey until 2 a.m. or whatever tonight. But by the way, I heard you guys earlier in the show talking about this. The reason, as far as I can tell, ascertain, is that ESPN has the PGA Championship coverage going to 8 Eastern and then has a doubleheader.
Yeah.
So this is a US TV issue. As far as I, we have the two late starts in Carolina and here in Calgary tonight. It sticks for the players. We asked the players this morning after the skates. I can't even call them morning skates. I think the Oilers were off the ice at like 1 local time here today.
Yeah.
But it changes the routine a bit, right? I mean, Matthew Tkachuk just thought he'd take a longer nap himself. But, hopefully no more. I mean, it's actually 8:50 local time for the puck drop. 10:50 your time.
Right.
So hopefully no overtime, I would say. But I tell you what, the buzz around this series is unbelievable. And you know, I got to thinking today as I was watching the skates that I feel for Leafs fans and Habs fans a year ago who, you know, similarly to here, where this is the first Battle of Alberta in 31 years, and Habs and Leafs for their first series since 79, but the fans didn't really partake last year for the Leafs and Habs. You know, the rinks were mostly empty. The Habs
got
a sprinkling of fans at the end, I guess, but couldn't even get into bars. The restrictions were still up in bars, so Battle Alberta is for real. I mean, it is like everyone is walking around town here in Calgary with their Flames jersey on. There's lots of Edmonton fans who have made the trip, or transplants who live here with their Oilers jerseys on. Like, everyone's wearing a sweater, either one. And it's a fantastic atmosphere. I said this on Ryan Rashog's podcast this week, but this was one of my working life bucket list items before the end of my career, was to cover a Battle of Alberta playoff series. So I'm really happy to be here.
So game one, Pierre, it was an absolute walkover in a lot of eyes, as much as, you know, 9-6 Calgary, and I know Edmonton tied at 6-6, but they find themselves down 5-1. You're not going to win many games when you do that. Do you feel like, you know, Edmonton has a counterpunch in them, given the way, Calgary dominated the shot clock and the scoring chances and everything on down the line in game one?
You know, Dave, I mean, I think they do. They've responded. I know L.A. is not Calgary, but they lost game one to L.A., and then you felt like the whole, you could feel the tension in and around the organization about, because the Oilers like the Leafs fighting their own playoff demons, and they had an amazing game too. I was there in the rink in Edmonton, and I expect that kind of rebound tonight. It may not be enough to win, but I think they do. Under Jay Woodcroft, they have rebounded really well off losses ever since he took over February 10th, and I expect to see that tonight. And I got to tell you, and I know you guys are watching on TV, and as I have been, as I have been as well. But I have to tell you, it really does take your breath away sometimes to see what Connor McDavid does in when you're watching him live in the rink, because you can see the whole ice and the way that he gets from point A to point B after all these years of watching this guy's career. It still takes your breath away at times. I mean, there are a couple plays he made in game one. I'm just telling you, no one else in the league can do. Like, it's just like unbelievable, and it's a preoccupation for the Flames. I mean, Daryl Sutter said it, for letting Connor McDavid get 4 points every night, we're going to be congratulating him on going to the Western Conference Final, not the other way around. So, Calgary, I think, is a deeper team. I think the Flames are going to win this series, but you asked me the question, Dave. Number 97 has the ability single-handedly to provide some moments here for the Oilers in this series big time. Like I think he could steal a game or two on his own.
See, where that would scare me is if it got to a game seven, right? Like if it,
right.
Because he just had 4 goals and it did, or 4 points, and it didn't matter. They lost.
Yeah.
And ultimately, as important as he is and how great as he is, if Edmonton's going to defend the way they did, Mike Smith or Koskinen are going to play the way they did, then it doesn't matter what he's going to do. But if you get to a game seven, that's where, you know, McDavid could have a Gretzky in 93 type of night, you know, where he has a 5-point night. And then you're really putting yourself in a position there. I have to believe Sutter is thinking like that. Do not allow that guy to have an opportunity to have the game of his life in a game seven. So almost, it's almost mandatory if you're Calgary. You got to win this thing in six or less. And I think if they win tonight, that's what's going to happen.
I think that's a great point. And, you know, and I have to say that, you know, the other side of, again, watching these teams live in person and getting that extra layer that you don't get from watching on TV, Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Goudreau, it is, and watching them without the puck, those guys know where each other are all the time. I mean, there's a lot of great lines in the game, guys, and I think, you know, we're obviously spoiled in Toronto to watch Matthews and Marner all year and what they did. I don't know how many lines where all three have equal, you know, contribution to the excellence of the line, if you know what I mean. Like, this isn't just, we have a great pairing and who should we put with these two great players. These three guys, I mean, it looked like they were looking up and taking their time to see where they wanted the puck next on some of their shifts in game one. Now, I know the Oilers are going to want to play them a lot tighter tonight, but it actually is mesmerizing to watch that top line for the Calgary Flames. It is just amazing chemistry between those three.
Yep, there's a reason that they kept getting their tires pumped all year, right, Pierre? Like, there's a reason Lindholm is a guy that's up for a Selke. There's a reason Goudreau is going to get paid a fortune, and why Tkachuk is right in the middle of everything. And I think it's Tkachuk. Like, as much as I totally agree with you, you need all three ingredients to make the soup or the meal or whatever you want to call it. Tkachuk, to me, the fact that he can score 40 and the fact that he can chirp the way he chirps and agitate the way he agitates, and he will hit, he will fight, right? Like, I don't think he's looking to fight Kane. I don't think that's going to happen, much like I don't think Kane is looking to fight Lucic.
Right.
But he's, like, Tkachuk is right in the middle of everything. And, like, that, I find him, as great as McDavid is and as captivating as McDavid is, there's an element of what Tkachuk brings to the table that is equally as entertaining because he's right in the middle of everything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Flames fans just adore the guy. And
as they should, yeah.
And the thing that I really respect about his game is that, you know, listen, there are other guys around the league that like to agitate and as well, but this guy backs everything up. I mean, he's there. Like, yeah, he'll get under your skin and he'll say things and he'll agitate. He's also going to dump a hat trick on you while he's at it.
Right.
And it is amazing. I mean, Lindholm is probably the player that gets talked about the least, at least outside of this market here in Calgary. They appreciate him here, that's for sure. I actually wrote about him for today in The Athletic, and, you know, that trade is going to end up being, I think, the legacy trade for, you know, each GM tries to have, the trade that they're remembered for in a positive sense. And you know, Lindholm and Hanifin are still here from that trade with Carolina 4 years ago that sent Dougie Hamilton the rights to Adam Fox and Michael Ferland the other way. And it's actually a trade that for quite a while helped both teams. I mean, Dougie Hamilton had three tremendous seasons in Carolina. They took a swing at Adam Fox, which, of course, can you imagine if Carolina had been able to sign him? Oh,
right.
My goodness. But Calgary knew they couldn't sign him. And that deal just keeps looking great for Brad Treliving. I mean, Lindholm is a Selke Trophy guy centering an incredible top line, and he's making $4.85 million a year for another 2 years after this year.
So, Pierre, we had Pooley on earlier. We were doing a little bit of the forensic analysis of another dead Leaf season. And Pooley's theory is, you know, as much as all the talk, you know, from Shanahan was, we're not going to make change for the sake of making change. And there was a lot of self-congratulation about all the progress the Leafs had made in that, you know, season-ending press conference. Pooley believes they're going to make some kind of significant move, not just nibbling around the edges and, you know, filling in the holes. They're obviously going to have to fill in with their free agents and the goaltending situation. But he thinks there's something bigger that's going to have to happen here. How do you see the Maple Leafs offseason unfolding?
Yeah, I heard that segment. I heard Noodles this week. I've been trying to catch as much of you guys as I can here from Calgary. Hayes, I loved your analysis right off the bat Monday, which I know you had worked on all weekend.
Yes, thank you.
yes.
Sadly, reluctantly true.
It was some pretty smart stuff. And I've heard everyone out. It's funny. Usually you have me on the next day every year. So this is weird that I waited 6 days. But there's a number of things. Number one, I thought this would be interesting to you guys and to our listeners. But I knowing that I was on today, I texted a front office executive from a rival team, from another team. And I said, you know, what would you do if you were the Leafs? And, you know, I've had some interesting answers over the years with that question, especially when, you know, it's anonymous and they can be really honest. You know what this guy said? Stay the course. I would change almost nothing. They are a good team. He said, Kyle Dubas has done a lot of good work there. The worst thing they could do is change for the sake of change, was this guy's answer. And, you know, I don't know that I totally agree with him, to be honest, but it's just, I just wanted to share that with you guys, because that's a guy that works for another team that works to try and compete with the Leafs, and he thinks that's what he thinks of them. So, you know, the hard part for me is that I think he answered that in a vacuum and without the nuance of this now being 18 years without a playoff series win, and certainly six straight years under in the Matthews era. And that's the hard part. Like, I didn't like that people were trying to sugarcoat the loss almost as soon as Game 7 ended. Well, at least this time, you know, they played hard, and, you know, they took the Cup champs to 7. I could live with that only if they hadn't lost to Montreal and Columbus before it.
Right. Exactly.
Unfortunately, you don't get the benefit of the doubt after that. You have to win. At some point, if you're a championship contender, which I think the Leafs on paper are, you got to win. There's no participation ribbons here for going 7 with the Cup champs. You need to start winning when it matters. And I'm not trying to, again, I've just shared with you what another team executive thought of the Leafs. He thinks they're a good team and he would barely change them. But I'm just saying, I'm not overly comfortable with what seems to be a more or less a fair analysis in the wake of another first round loss. It's still a loss. It is what it is.
I see it the exact same way. If you look at it in through a vacuum or in a vacuum, and I said 115 points, 60 goal scorer, might win the Hart, you know, all-stars up and down the lineup, and took the two-time Cup champs, and I would argue maybe still the best team in the league to 7, that on its own, you'd say, I can reason with that still being a very good team. And they are a very good team. The problem is, you can't analyze it that way. And I don't think you can build moving forward that way, because those same guys that couldn't get it done, regardless of the opponent this time, couldn't get it done against inferior opponents and have had so many opportunities and so many kicks at the can. And within that 7-game series, I also think it's misleading just to look at it from a big picture standpoint. We talked about Killer Instinct a lot today. Wasn't there in Game 2? Wasn't there in Game 4? Right? Like, wasn't
close. And the bottom line is, you starting the third period in Game 6 in Tampa up a goal.
And that's your opportunity to prove, you know what, we're not losing. Like, we are not losing this game, because when it flipped two nights later, Tampa came out of the second intermission and said, we're not losing. And they did not lose. And so, I think they do have a very good team. I think you keep 90% of that, but that 10% turnover, I think it should be a message-sending turnover. I think it has to be something that truly changes the identity of your team to an extent, where it doesn't get rid of the positives, but it does send a message that this isn't good enough, because it hasn't been for a long time.
I agree, and there's two things I would add to that. I completely agree. One is that I think some of it is semantics when people on your air and throughout Leaf Nation have been arguing about, you know, what kind of change is needed. The cap itself is, even if the Leafs gone on to win the Cup this year, the Leafs were going to be forced into change. So I think we have to stop getting so hung up on, you know, should they make change or not. They will, because they have no choice. There was going to be change no matter what happened. So that is coming. I mean, you know, whether you re-sign Jack Campbell, which means you have to get rid of Mrazek or make other moves, or you lose Jack Campbell and you have to replace him, no matter what, change is coming. So that's number one. Number two is, for the first time really since this run started, you're actually now facing some kind of a artificial deadline of 12 months from now, where you need to know from Austin Matthews what his plans are. you know, it may very well be that he wants to sign for the rest of his career to be a Leaf. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But you do have to have that conversation literally in 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1 year away from the end of his deal. And that conversation alone, it changes everything either way. So this is, you know, if you want to call it, you know, running the team back or whatever way you want to describe it, regardless of how many tweaks are made or not, this is the last season that you're going into before you're having a conversation that you're not 100% you know the answer to. Right?
Yep, exactly.
So it, from that perspective, you know, this is it. They have to, I guess my point would be whether they finally win a playoff series might also have an impact to the answer you get to that conversation, by the way.
Mm-hmm. You would think, Pierre. You would think. So just swirling around the league a little, Pierre, Rick Bowness stepping down as the head coach of the Dallas Stars after a three-year run. What do you make of his prospects on the coaching market?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It was an important, you know, important for him in his statement, and I did some reporting too, but, like, you know, there are people that thought maybe he would retire, but it's important that he's come out and said no, that while he is leaving Dallas, he still wants to coach. So that's number one. You know, it's interesting. We know Barry Trotz, you know, met with the Jets this week. And I wonder about Rick Bowness as another option there, given his history in Winnipeg, for example. But it's also becoming a very interesting coaching market suddenly over the last couple of weeks. I mean, you got Pete DeBoer out there, obviously Barry Trotz. You know, I think Claude Julien, who's coaching Canada right now, would like another run at it. You know, we have not heard from Joel Quenneville at all since he resigned, right? Mm-hmm. Earlier this season. I suspect he probably does want to come back, and that would require meeting with Gary Bettman and dealing with that. But, you know, don't forget him is what I'm saying. It's an interesting time, and there's some plum assignments out there. Like, I tell you what, whoever goes into Dallas to replace Rick Bowness, right off the bat, you're coming in with a young star goalie who just had one of the greatest series in years. You got Jason Robertson, Rupe Hines. There's a lot to build from with that roster. So that's a pretty good assignment. Tons of guys, I think, will want the gig in Vegas. It's an interesting time, I think, to be a free agent coach. And also what's going to fascinate me, guys, is that I think the pandemic has slowed down the growth of coaches' salaries a bit. We're not seeing, like, every year it was jumping. And I think owners have kind of reined that in a bit. So I'm going to be curious, too, what kind of money some of these guys are going to get in their next gig.
Well, we still got a few rounds to go before we get probably to the heavy lifting, although you can hire coaches whenever you want. So there's a chance that could happen, you know, between now and the next time we have you on, Pierre. But enjoy yourself out there, buddy. It's going to be a wild one tonight, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Sounds great. Have a great long weekend, guys.
You got it. You too. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, live from Calgary, Alberta, ahead of the Battle of Alberta tonight. 2.0, game two tonight. And I assume Brady Tkachuk will be back in attendance. It's Friday night. Why wouldn't you have a great time?
Oh, yeah.
Right? He'll be having himself a time, I would think, out there. So
he's the life of the party.
He really is. He's become effectively the Flames mascot.
Exactly. Like,
he's Harvey the Hound, take a lap, dude. Brady Tkachuk is in town.